The following is an excerpt from the Science Podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Finally today, David Grimm, editor for our daily news site, is here to talk about the top stories from the year 2013. I'm Sarah Crespi. Okay, Dave, so first up, we have a story on the comforts of science. Why did this story on the strength of scientific belief make it into the top 10?
Well, this was probably one of our more controversial stories of the year, and it really has to do with this idea that there are no atheists in foxholes, as they say. People that are under very stressful and dire situations, even if they're not religious, often turn to God. And this study went out to see, well, might people who maybe aren't very religious turn to science in similar circumstances? And they interviewed some folks who were about to compete in a very stressful race, also some students that were asked to write about their own mortality. And what they found was that these people, when they were in these very stressful or dire situations, turned to scientific belief. They started agreeing with some very fundamental scientific concepts and sort of affirming their belief in those concepts.
So stress was basically activating belief rather than activating a particular belief.
That's right. And what the researchers say is the one thing that science and religion have in common is they both are attempts to help us make sense of and understand our world. So it makes sense that we would turn to one of these two things when everything else seems lost.
Okay. So next up, we have another story on human behavior. And in this case, we're talking about the adaptive advantage of monogamy. Now, I think perhaps the image at the top of this article is what drew so much attention.
Right. This was definitely one of our most popular stories of the year, and we headed it with a picture of the newly married British royals with their brand new baby. So I'm sure that didn't hurt with the traffic, but the story itself is actually also very fascinating. And it has to do with this idea of primates among all mammals have a very high degree of monogamy. It's somewhere in the range of 27% of species versus only about 5% of the rest of mammals. And scientists have for a long time tried to figure out why is this the case? What are the advantages that monogamy confers to and other primate species that maybe it doesn't confer to other mammals?
This study actually claims that monogamy is linked with infanticide. It's a pretty bold claim. What kind of evidence?
It's a very bold claim. And what the researchers did was they reconstructed a bunch of trees of life and looked at the behaviors and the evolution of a variety of primate species that they looked at, over 200 of them. And what they found is that, at least according to their models, the thing that makes the most sense is the reason that men and women or males and females stick together in these species is because the male has to stick around to protect his infant. Otherwise, a rival male will come in, kill the infant, which is common in a lot of animal species, and mate with the female to produce his own offspring.
Was there a lot of support for this finding when it came out?
Well, not everybody is a fan. In fact, a study that came out just after this study showed that infanticide doesn't play a role in monogamy. So the jury's still out.
So next we have what I consider the weirdest story from the year. In fact, when I first saw this on Facebook, I just assumed it was a hoax and I did not go any further. Then it showed up on our daily news site, which made me reconsider my opinion.
Which means, of course, it's not a hoax. This is definitely our most bizarre story of the year. It has to do with a tiny skeleton, 6 inches long or 15 centimeters long, found in a pouch in a ghost town in Chile's Atacama Desert. Now, you'll have to go to the site to see a picture of this thing, but it's a very bizarre skeleton. It looks kind of like a human being, although very tiny, but the head is very alien-like. And there's also some other strange features about the skeleton. So as you said, Sarah, a lot of people thought this was a hoax.
You know?
And in fact, there was a documentary going on that was investigating whether this body had come from a UFO. But enter science. And a researcher did some analysis of the bones, consulted some experts. And it turns out this isn't a hoax. This is really a human being The big question at this point is, how did this person get this way? Was this a fetus that died in birth and had some severe developmental abnormalities? Was this a very tiny person that was born very tiny and died very, very young? There's a lot of unanswered questions here, but the story itself is so fascinating that it's definitely worth your time.
Well, I hope we hear more about it in 2014. And this would not be a best of podcast without a mention of microbes, our microbial friends. Which of the many shocking findings that we learned of this year made the cut?
Yeah, we've been all over microbes this year, microbes in our guts, microbes in our skin. And this story has to do with microbes in the sky. It turns out there are billions of bacteria floating up there in the atmosphere. Who knows what they're doing? But some speculation, according to the study, is they may be doing everything from mating, eating and forming an ecosystem up there to even influencing the weather.
What can't they do? So people have known that there's some kind of organisms way up in the sky for a long time, but it's always been really hard to measure. Can you talk a little bit about how they changed that this year?
Well, the researchers in the study took a ride on 9 NASA airplane flights that were aimed at studying hurricanes. And while these planes were doing their thing, the researchers essentially scooped up some microorganisms from the air, brought them back to the lab and studied them, and found that there were a lot of different species up there that seem to be doing a lot of potentially different things, although they're not exactly sure what they're doing yet. And that even if they're not doing a whole lot up there, there could be water vapor condensing or even forming ice around them. And if that's the case, these microbes could be seeding clouds, which could be affecting the weather. So the next time you see a cloud, thank bacteria.
For the last story we're going to talk about, this is not all the stories from the site. We have a bizarre finding from the usually bizarre world of quantum physics. What do we learn about quantum entanglement this year?
Well, quantum physics is always great fodder for a best of story because there's always really strange things being found in the world of quantum physics. And this is one of the stranger ones. And this has to do with a phenomenon known as quantum entanglement. And basically the idea is if you've got two quantum particles, even if they're light years apart from each other, the mere act of measuring one instantaneously changes the state of the other one. Now, this new study comes along and makes that bizarre phenomenon even more bizarre. It finds that these particles don't even have to exist at the same time to be entangled.
Okay, spooky. What does it mean for some of the applications that we might see down the line for quantum entanglement?
Well, good question. Always hard to find applications for these things. But one expert consulted for the story says it opens up people's minds and it might be useful for quantum computing or something.
Okay. Well, as I said, that's not all the stories. Do you want to give hints for what else is on the site?
Well, we've got 5 more stories. You can see our full top 10 list on the site, including our most popular story of the year.
Well, what else is on the site just for this week?
Well, Sarah, for Science Now, we've got a story about evidence of inbreeding among Neanderthals. Also a story about how computers change the way we learn. For Science Insider, our policy blog, we've got some new items about what the future of science funding is in the United States. And finally, for Science Live, our weekly chat on the hottest topics in science, Science Live is on a bit of a hiatus, but it's returning January 9th with a chat about why we should save carnivores, just what impact they play on the ecosystems they live in. So be sure to check out all these stories and the rest of the top 10s on the site.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Sarah.
David Grimm is the editor for our online daily news site. I'm Sarah Crespi. You can check out the latest news, our upcoming live chats, and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org.